This is Joe, and you're listening to the O Gatekeeper podcast, where every week I'll be talking to my people about what gets them up in the morning, what their purpose is, and why they make things. Hopefully, it will inspire you to do the same. Thank you. You can get episodes early and without advertisements over at ogatekeeper.com, as well as weekly bonus episodes, playlists, and my Joe and Friends series. Enjoy. The honor I have this week is to introduce to you a guest and friend, hero and musical beast, Hack Baker. Whoa. What's going on? How's the album going? Are you all right talking about the album?
Yeah. Because I just got really busy again. Then we went to Europe and we just got busy and doing all things like we're doing the beer. We released our beer the other day and just other stuff with my friends and that. I kind of put it down for a bit, you know, which is unlike me. But I kind of just went, yeah, I'm just going to put it down for a bit and then really try and sink my teeth into it once like September, October comes.
Great.
Which I'm quite proud of myself because I'm an obsessive man, and I want to try and do everything at once. But like I just realized, I just thought like, no, just chill. Like you've got like some good starters that you're like sure about. So just chill, like, and just don't try and do it all at once. Like let's actually, for once, put all our energy into something like, and not just get away with it. Cause I'm like a get away with it artist, like I'm the, and then when I say to people like I haven't tried, they go, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "You would never understand." Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't explain it to people. So I actually want to make this album like literally the best thing that I've ever made. So I've got a lot of processing to do as well with even where I am with love and myself and where I live and alcohol as per and just, yeah, so I just thought I want to do a lot of work on that and even fuck up a lot as well and don't be so hard on myself. Yeah, just all that stuff.
You know, like, are you creatively speaking, especially with what's going on now? Because what you've done is, you're saying is you've kind of taken a step back in order to go to like, just to have a break from it, to go back to it. Are you normally someone that finds your first idea is the best idea and you go for it?
Yeah, and I don't want to. Yeah, 100%. But
And is
that.
that and that's how you see not trying, because
Yes,
it's your first idea.
because it's just like that's it. There. Oh, it was off the cuff. It was really cool. You know. Oh, it's raw. That's me. Like I'm just raw. I'm just the raw guy. You know. But like that's not true. Like you, it's that's just not true. You should refine. You should take time and refine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, one of the problems I have with that is that there's the power of procrastination, where I won't write the song for ages. I've got the idea for the song, but I haven't, you know, not the chords or the fucking melody or anything. I've just got this idea of an energy or something that I'm like, that's going to be a sick tune. And then I won't touch it for ages until it's kind of at the end, at the tip of my tongue, and then I'll make it. And it feels like it's the first idea. And it's normally my best idea is my first idea. And what I worry about, because I also listen to exterior voices tell me, you know, you've got to work on these things. You've got to like look at the details. Bowen, who's the guitarist in our band, who writes the songs with me, you know, he's the opposite of me. He goes through every option, goes through every detail. He's like scientist type person, and I'm like a fucking sledgehammer. But like, I think the more I fucking go through something, the more details I go over it, the more I find fault in my first idea. And I'm like, you know, it's like a lot of people would fucking wish they could have your skill of the first idea being the best idea. But there is also the skill of going through and refining and finding, and that is, it does, like, in my opinion, it does help doing both, but
Yeah, I think both is the key. I think both. I don't feel I'm ever. I'm not going to throw away that technique and that skill completely because I can't.
no.
But like, I feel like I'm at a point now where, there is both. I mean, like, if there is like a magnificentness that comes from the first time, like you think, all right, fucking no, whatever. But like, you got to listen to that thing where you think, you know what, you can make that a little bit better. Like you can, and like, I've realized that even like with rhyming and stuff like that, I'm in tunes, like my brain will automatically do another rhyme when I'm like I went on a tune or when I'm live performing, or and it'll go and then I'll go, see, if you took time, that would have been on the record, but it's not now, and you're saying something completely different that you feel that's better. Do you know what I mean?
That's crazy. Yeah, I've had that a couple of times. I'm like, fuck that. Like, that's a like I like when random shit comes on your phone, like old demos without any vocals come on. I'm like, this song sounds great, and I'm like, oh yeah, I fucking ruined it with my vocals, man. Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Have you listened back to your shit recently, or have you literally not
No,
listened?
no. I've been listening to like with my best mate, one of my best mates, Leon. That we've been listening to it go through it, and everyone like some people would say like some people, not everyone, some people would say, "Oh, like you're mad, like the album's half done," and then I go, "Ah, oh, you're no way, like not at all." Like I said, I've got like four or five tunes max. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I actually have been listening to it, and I've been like, yeah, and I've actually come to a new place of actually where I want to take it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Great.
which I'm happy about.
Magic.
Yeah, so
Seems like
yeah.
it's paying off then, man.
No, it is. I think it is a lot of this reflection that I've been doing is paying off. But then also on the other side of the coin, I'm being a madman, but very quietly. I'm learning to do it very quiet this at the same time. Like I've been home once in 4 days. Nobody knows. You know what I mean? But like I'm just like maybe just getting a bit better at it. Like it's weird. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, as long as you're not, as long as you're happy, or at least healthy, happy,
I'm healthy.
content.
I think, as I said, I think that situation that I spoke about briefly really still is bothering me because this person kind of wants to. They're not. They're like, they're just busy, I feel. And as we're speaking, like, you're all in, and you want. And when you work for 3 days, or even going to Bender for 2 days, you just want that comfort that you want. And when you can't get it, it's annoying. It's annoying. It's annoying, and it makes you want to go like fuck some shit up or just do stuff that you think, oh, what have I done that for? That's not really what you want to do. So yeah.
Well, I've my partner's moved in to my house.
Congrats.
Thanks. And I'm like you, I'm all in. And I have, like, these things where I'm like, why do I love the honeymoon period so much? It's like everything, fucking suddenly you're seeing in Technicolor, Hall & Oates is playing in the background. And then it that bit dies down, and then you build something substantial, and all that magic shit happens that's like different and all that. But now I'm like I apply that to a lot of things. I go all in, and it sounds like what you're saying about the album is what it's like you go like fucking, and maybe it's, this is a good practice. You just gotta do some reflection with your.
Yeah, don't like to. Sometimes I don't like to reflect too much though, because then you start opening. There's the little black chests that are in the back, and then you start shining lights, and then you start. Then you might want to open them up, and it's oh, I can't be opening that up. Do you know what I mean? But then I also don't want my past to rule me anymore. So it's like, do you just leave those little black chests away in the corner, or do we be like Gen Z and go to your psychiatrist, go talk to someone and all that? Well, like, no, because we're a bit more old school. Like, can just leave things over there, and we just say, you know what, that just don't need to touch that, because if
How's
you
that
touch.
working out?
I started doing therapy and it was good. And then I got to a place and I thought, there's not really much more that I can talk to her about, because I'm never going to talk about these things. So I was just so I just maybe it's coping mechanisms, and like I tell myself things, something that I heard the other day that I've been using a lot to calm myself down, is that it's not that serious. You're not that hard. It's not that serious. Let it like be a bit translucent. Let it just. It's not that serious. It's never that serious, because it's all temporary. You're gonna die anyway, so you might as well just be a bit looser. And I've been using that a lot lately. If when I want to get when I'm getting a bit uptight, it's go, it's not that serious, heck. And I think that's a good way. I think I can get through my whole life like that. If I go to do that and I just relax, I feel it, and it's you can just let it go. Do you know what I mean? It's not that serious. It's never that serious.
No, is it Buddhism?
That's where it's. I watched a podcast about, and it was like a monk geezer talking to that Diary of a CEO geezer, and he was watching it. I was watching it, and the geezer was just dropping dime after dime after dime. But the one that stuck with me was that one where he said, "It's not that. It's nothing. Nothing's that serious. Just let go, you know." Why do you want to do that? Because you inevitably, in the end, you've got to let go. And then life or God or whatever forces you to let go anyway. And then imagine you're looking back at your life thinking that you took everything so serious, couldn't let go of anything, and you couldn't just be frivolous with life at all. That's not, that'd be a shame. Not getting anywhere.
The first time I did therapy, I'm in therapy now, and he's great, but it's a different vibe, you know. So obviously it's different people, so it's going to be different. First time I felt like it was just not, there was no progress in it. It was just talking about, I was, I wasn't depressed, I was just like a bit fucked, you know. I was circumstantially depressed maybe, but I wasn't clinically depressed or out.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I understand.
Was just like, I'm just spent weeks just going over stuff, but it doesn't feel like there's any moving forward. And it's like, it's almost like making something that is bad, but it's like, it's manageable, into this thing where I'm like, all I'm doing is talking about this thing. Like, there's more to my life than this, and I want progress. I think some people need pragmatism and need to be able to kind of work on things and move forward instead of just put, like, what's the word? Stagnating in misery.
And I wrote my best music through stagnating misery. And sometimes I'm scared to even allow myself to be too happy, or I won't be able to go to that place where I dig out bats of songs, you know? Those bats just write their own songs, you know? They're like fucking highlighters. And they just. I just go into a place where the song just completely just writes itself, and I love it also at the same time, because then it's like a my own therapy session. But then I feel like when I need to go live in some hell again, as soon as I'm in the dabbling debauchery, and I put a song on in my car, immediately like I had to start writing a song in my car, like it this morning. You know, and I was just like, oh yeah, there we go. And yeah, so it's hard because I always want to write songs because it's like I always want to write songs.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's the reason why I wanted to start this podcast, because it's a lot of podcasts about how to do things, how to be a millionaire, how to fucking work out, how to eat, how to make music, how to blah blah blah. And I'm like, I don't think anyone needs to know how, because my way is not anyone else's
Not
way.
your, yeah.
But the similarity between you and I is that we didn't stagnate. We were stagnating until we found songwriting.
Yes.
And then suddenly we were liberated into something completely more powerful. And like, I don't know if it's a codependency or misery, but what it is, it's like, that's how you therapize. That's how you pragmatically get through the shit. It's by connecting to the universe, putting yourself out there, and other people go, because in the space of, I don't know how long we've been doing this for, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, who knows? You said more about yourself than most people would say in hours of a podcast. You've been more open and honest about how you feel than most people would give in a week. And like, that's a beautiful thing, but that's something you've learned as a way of connecting yourself to the universe. And people see themselves in that because you are putting yourself out there. That's the best, that's the most vivid mirror you can give someone, is by showing your pain. And then they say, fuck me, that's like what I feel. Something
Absolutely.
different story.
No, that's absolutely like even when I was coming in, driving in, speaking to my friend, and I was like, what are you doing today? I said, oh, I got a podcast with my friend. And I said, I can't wait because I'm gonna be. I like him, so I'm gonna talk, and I'm gonna get to get some things that I feel off my chest. So kudos to you there, but also like that is like I now I actually take that on with like full responsibility. It's my job, and I like I my job is to create a place, even if it's for like 3 minutes, 4 minutes a day, where someone can put on a tune. And they feel like they're not alone for an instant. That's my job, and I take it with so much pride. There's nothing like there's not, and it's mad because I can be on stage and be crying in front of people, talking about things, talking about Patrick, who's like my guitar teacher. I think the only teacher that I've probably allowed myself to have since I've left school. He was in the Baby Shambles, and he was. I met him. And he struggled with addiction, and I saw myself in the mirror. It's like being in those fucking mazes where they got mirrors all over the place and seeing yourself in different shades. And he was the best man I ever met, and he just died 3 weeks ago on the 18th of June, I think it was. A bit longer, 4 weeks
Fucking
ago. He
sorry,
just
man.
died. He just had a heart attack. And I was so gutted. I am so gutted. I was speaking to my mate the other day. I just still broke out in tears. 3 days prior, the girl I was talking to you about said that she couldn't do this anymore. And I was just like, fucking hell. And then when Patrick died, I was on the, And I was like, but where's my joy? I feel like I'm always trying to give other people joy, and I was like, where the fuck's my joy? When am I gonna get some joy? Like I generally sit there and question that sometimes. Well, a lot of the times, I think, where the fuck is my joy? And it gets to me. It does get to me sometimes.
And
I know I have good moments with my friends sometimes, but I'm talking about my own personal joys. Those pockets that I used to go and sit with Patrick in his house, and he'd teach me, told me all the time. I'd write songs. I was like, Pat, I don't know what I played, and he would tell me and teach me in so many different ways. And every time I go there, he'd make me a bowl of soup. And it's someone that just genuinely just cared about me, you know what I mean? And I felt like, oh, fucking, I'm so lucky to have this geezer. And I took it for granted because sometimes I was supposed to go there and I couldn't go there for work. And then And he always had made time for me, you know, and then suddenly he was gone, and I thought, fucking hell. There's like, you know, there was two places, I feel like two places where I felt joy, personal joy, taken away from me in less than 4 days of each other. And I thought, oh, fucking hell. Where's my joy?
Well, yeah.
Coincidence, my mum's name as well, Joy.
I think one of the things to carry with that, something that I didn't realize until later on, was that I think your joy in times like this, where things are really fucked, is to remind yourself that maybe the joy, the only joy that you can manifest right now is the one you give to other people. Because if you can manifest some sort of connection with other people, your honesty and your just sharing your pain right now. No, I don't mean in song, I mean like in conversation, and allowing yourself to be carried by the people around you who you trust, you will eventually just be carried, and that feeling is the joy until you find new fucking things that are just as fucking beautiful. But in the meantime, just being open and talking about your pain, I think will give people joy, because they know, they will feel that you trust them enough to be carried by them, and you'll find it again, not quickly.
Yeah, not quickly, but I think people really have saved me, because just in times of like real personal darkness, most of the time self-inflicted, but I don't understand why I keep doing it. But it will be a random person in the train station, I think a boy called George, that stopped me the other day from South East London. He was just like, bruv, like, your music fucking really helped me, like, really helped me, do you know what I mean? And stopped me. He's like, oh, he's gonna take photographs for your brother, like, rare, la, la, la. And, you know, and he was just like, that, let you know, in those instances, it was on my birthday as well. And it was just like, no, like, you know what, fucking, you know, like, we can go and have a good, nice drink today. You know what I mean? Because people do really, you know, care about you. Those little bits there, really do keep you afloat. And then I get annoyed with myself, because I was like, why does it take external validation from other people to make you feel a little bit better about yourself? And I just pray to that one day that it won't be external, and I'll have it inside me to know that I'm a good person and I'm doing good things. That's a dream. It's a dream. And then I feel like once you get to that place, then you will be able to attract what you deserve, which is that happiness from and someone that wants to give you that and help maintain that. I know happiness ain't a constant, but like just that nice, safe place where you can go and recharge and create life and shit. You know what I mean? I want kids badly. I want it all. I want like what I didn't. I want that matrimony that, what, not even just me, like, but loads of young people that I represent from, that fucking, that we represent from, like, in just like hardworking places. You know, and it's not even just due to adultery why relationships didn't work. Just it was just two young people that couldn't get together. 'Cause, and do you know what I mean? And so, you know, split parent had happened, and they just couldn't get along as people. And then that had such a trickle down effect on people, and it just creates little monsters. You know, like my friends, and but we love each other so much, because like we had to really look after each other. Like me and my friend Tanani was talking about this. Like we really And we're saying that's why a lot of the young girls don't even know, because they didn't grow up like us. They didn't have to get together and look after each other like we did. They don't have that maternal instinct like we did back in the day, because it is nicer now. There is a lot more solid relationships and parenting. It's better, but because they didn't grow up like in the times, and it was a bit more harder then. Do you know what I mean? So there was a couple of generations that it was just like just everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Broken people everywhere. You look around, they looked after themselves. And I can't, when I told people that how we grew up in flats on our own, like all living together, kids, they're like, what? I was like, yeah, we looked after each other. That's what we did. But it bears a lot of wounds, man.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about finding inner peace, my experience, and I haven't found it yet, that question that you ask, that I've asked myself as well, is like, why the fuck do I keep doing that? Why? Why? What the fuck? Like, I just sat there and said, don't do that. Fast forward 10 hours, and you're like, how the. What happened? When did I suddenly sabotage my own fucking plans?
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
It's not when you just rewind 5 minutes and you're talking about not opening up those fucking
Those little.
things. Because how are you going to find inner peace and really understand how much you deserve, hack, when you're not allowing all of you to be free? Inside, and I'm not saying that as a fucking, I'm not a therapist. I'm just saying that about me, and that I know until I get over the fucking the black chests, you're always going to be running because you're like, yeah, it's fine. They're just at the back. That's why I'm keep going forward. That's the pragmatism. You're like, well, let's just keep just keep busy. Why do I keep fucking needing to? And what's the word? Fucking numb myself every quarter because you're tired
Tired,
from.
fucking hell. That's tired.
Well, I hope you get some fucking rest, mate.
I've got some time. I'm going Cornwall at the end of August for a week, and I'm going to go
Is
stay
it?
in a pod on a farm
Nice.
with my friend Elvis, a place called Loveland. And you just go there, and they've got like, it's all green, and there's the sea, and there's cliffs, and there's chicken, wild chickens, and veg. And I'm just going to go there, man. Lay in the grass for hours, feed the pigs, play my guitar.
Sounds perfect. Do you know what? How long you got?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm good, man. I'm all right. You just let me know when you're all right. I'm
Well,
sweet.
because basically, it's podcasting. But I normally have a little. But obviously, we know each other well, so it's fucking. That's how it rolls with us. But there is actually a point to my podcast, which is about creative language and encouraging people to make things, because it might save their lives. Break cycles, open up chests, maybe. But at least making something is, it just makes you feel connected, exactly what you said, connected to the universe. And it makes you feel fucking, you're not alone, part of something bigger than yourself, unimportant, which is important. And like, I just want someone out there to watch this, hear you speak and go, do you know what? I'm gonna start quilting.
Knitting,
Whatever it is that
I'm
they need
saying,
to
oh, yeah.
do to, yeah, whatever it is they need to survive. If it's music, great, but who cares? As long as it's something other than the obvious. And I think you're an important voice in my life, so I want other people to hear it. So I just wanted to talk to you about your creative language, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem.
So first question, and we're not going to do many just because it's not a rush, but
Right.
how would you describe your creative language?
Just like I'd say, like the spectrum of love, really. I think people that make you sad, you care about people that you don't care about can't make you sad, really, unless like it's a bullying situation or whatever. So I just think my creative language is just like different corners of love, really. Hate, love, sadness, togetherness, just reveling in the small things that create, that accentuate love. And all spectrums of it, really, and talking about it. As I was saying, it heals me for moments, and it connects people. Like, and at the gigs, we've seen everyone smiling and crying all together, and the random people, you know, comfort them. And do you know what? The joyous, one of the most things about gigging is that people come to my gigs on their own, and they know that they're going to be thingy safe because there's love there. So that's my, yeah, my language is definitely just talking about love is so important in all this spectrum. I think that's how we connect. It's the only thing, really. It's the only thing. Do you know what I mean? Like the bee keeps us alive because it loves what it's doing and it sacrifices its life and energy. It does it and then it dies. Do you know what I mean? That I love the bee. Look, anytime I see a bee, I will try and it's tired or something, I'll pick it up and pull it somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just working so hard to get that photosynthesis going so we stay alive. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the best, like, example I can use of like exhausting love for the better of everybody.
Yeah, and a really beautiful analogy for music and art
Yeah.
and all the things that at first just seem pretty, but actually keeping us all fucking going.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's magic.
Yeah. They got the bees, man.
What would you say in a world like where what's your worth, do you think, as you go along?
My own personal worth.
As a musician or an artist or however we describe it.
I think I'm. I allow myself to say I'm pretty expensive now, because, you know, I'm there, man, and I'm there for the right people. I'm not there for the superstars. I'm not there for the glitter boys and girls. I ain't there for them. I'm there for poor people. Being poor is a wealthy thing because you become rich in other things. And I think my worth is the glorification of the normal person, and that's an expensive, priceless, beautiful thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, and that is the majority of people, not the minority of people. And that's why I argue with my agent about the prices of my tickets, and that's why they get annoyed. People get annoyed when I put on free do's and free parties because they're saying you're diminishing your worth, blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying, you know, I ain't. Do you know what I mean? Like, you never, if you don't get it, you don't get it, but I'm doing the right thing. It's expensive, you know. So yeah, that's how I would respond to that.
What about, I guess, I don't know where you are in your, where you feel you are. Where would you, how would you like to be remembered as a musician? Like, what would your biggest achievement be if you could achieve anything?
I think for me, it's just letting people know, or being proof of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, dream, and like going for something that is not seemed susceptible of where you come from and being like a product of environment, etc. I've said this story before, but it's like when I first started playing guitar, a lot of people from my area just thought, oh, he's out of his nut again. Like, what is he up to? Nah. Do you know what I mean? No one from my ends plays guitar and sings songs or fucking does this or sings all kinds of fucking genres of music and, you know, this and that and la la la. But now people are warming to it, you know. A lot of, you know, obviously my best friends never, ever, ever moved like that. They was like, go on, we know you can do this and supported me. Now my friends like Taylor, Leon, Jermaine, Charlie, Greg, you know, my brother, obviously, those boys was never blinked an eyelid about what I was doing. They was just like, yeah, man, this is what you're doing. Do you know what I mean? My mates in jail, when I started to play guitar, when that's where I started playing it, they was like, yeah, come on. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's sick. So, just to let people know, like, I just want to be remembered for I'm the person that made so and so go for that thing that they was deemed unacceptable for or not programmed to do. Nah, I saw Ack play guitar, man. Like, I remember when he was playing for no one. I remember when he played for 10 people. You know what I mean? That he's doing well. Do you know what I mean? He plays for a good amount of people. Like, if he can do it, he looks like me, acts like me, sounds like me, goes to the pub like me, fucks up like me, talks about it. And he's doing it. He's done it. So I can do it. The lady that thought that she couldn't do this, she couldn't be a star. She couldn't, you know, she had a kid. You know, she had a, it was hard for her. Like, no, put that to the side. And she persevered and did that. You know, like, so, you know, my mum's single mum parent now. I need to send her home to make her. Do you know what I mean? Like, sacrifice for yourself. Be selfish. You know, everyone goes on like being selfish sometimes. It's a bad thing, ain't a bad thing. You know, get on with what you want to do. So, if anyone that, if I can be remembered for saying I want to be remembered for good moral encouragement, for hardworking, lower class, in quotation, people.
Magic.
Yeah. Magic.
Yeah. Well, I honestly, it's fucking perfect and enough. I'd love to ask you one more question if you don't mind.
Yeah.
What's your death row dinner?
Wait, give me easy. I think this one's quite easy, actually. Give me some real yard man jerk chicken. I'm not talking about the one in the shop. I want the one with the man's got the barrow outside the
In the
rave.
barrel, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, yeah.
Smoking barrels, of
Yeah,
course,
you
yeah.
know what, you grew up around Bristol, you know what's going on. The jerk man with the barrel, with the hard old bread, with a little sauce. I need some fried dumplings and I need some coleslaw. And for, give me an apple crumble or top one.
Cold or warm custard?
Do you know what? I'm gonna throw this in the mix. Cream. Give me some fresh cream.
Okay.
And then just leave me. And then let me just go. And I say, I'm ready for it.
Can't, yeah. I think apple crumble. I was thinking about it yesterday because my kid was like, this black, she was talking to her and her mum are gonna pick blackberries. And I was like, what are you gonna do? Jam? She was like, no, I'm gonna make a pie. I was like, I wanna make a crumble.
Yes.
Crumbles are the one.
Crumbles are
And
the
I was
one.
like, cold custard or hot custard? And she was like, hot custard. And I was like, get out of my fucking car. And then I kicked her out and make her walk home.
Yeah, no, not the warm
I
custard,
didn't
you
do that. She's
cunt.
six. Well, Hack, thank you for your honesty. And thank you for your time.
Yeah,
And
no
thank you for
problem, mate.
everything you've made.
No problem, mate. Thanks for supporting me, Joe, from the
Fucking
park for a long time now. Cheers, appreciate it.
looking forward to seeing you in the flesh.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I'll see you. We'll see you soon, though, right? It's in the diary.
Yes, I was like, yeah, soon. And then it was like, I think it's October,
October, yeah, I think it's October, yeah.
but
Yeah.
it's gonna be worth it.
Yeah, man, of course. Of course.
Can't wait.
All right, my boy.
Lots of love.
Respect. Love you,
Thank
mate.
you.
Ta.